Welcome to the Gastric Health Show, where we help you achieve the happiest and healthiest version of yourself by motivating you to eat, move, sleep, and think better. Welcome to the Gastric Health Show. My name is Dawn Boxall, and we are back to continue our topic on constipation. We have laid the foundation that we are trying to understand why someone is having constipation chronically after gastric bypass, gastric sleeve surgeries, when nothing seems to work. You're using the more fluids, more fiber, and more exercise, and you really didn't get results. And you're requiring lots of different either medications or supplements like Amitiza, Linzess, stool softeners, you name it, enemas, suppositories, smooth move tea, magnesium, anything just to have kind of occasional bowel movements. In my world, my goal is to help you have daily bowel movements. To me, that is the optimum. Most people are going to feel better physically and mentally if they are having bowel movements on a daily basis. Now, the standard is every 1 to 3 days, but I would say in the functional world, we know the importance of doing it every day, and that's where I would strive for. Having a bowel movement no less than once a day, ideally multiple times a day, 1 to 3 times a day. So that's kind of what why I make this such a big deal, because when I have patients that tell me, oh, I have, you know, maybe 2 or tops 3 bowel movements a week, I'm concerned. Usually there's going to be lots of symptoms and side effects that they may or may not even recognize or correlate. So that's where I like to discover why. What's driving someone to not have regular bowel movements or for things to not flow naturally? So that's what we're digging into. So today's topic, constipation and bacterial overgrowth after gastric sleeve and bypass surgeries. So we are talking about small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, or what we also call SIBO, S-I-B-O. And it's really just where the bacteria is in the wrong location. We're supposed to have the majority of our bacteria in our colon, and sometimes based on certain things that happen in life, because of surgeries, medications, different disease states, they allow that bacteria to flow more into the small intestines where we really don't want it. It's normal to have some, it's just the higher levels are supposed to be in the colon. So, bariatric surgery is one of those risk factors. Being on PPIs is a risk factor. Multiple abdominal surgeries, so think about hysterectomies, having your gallbladder removed, an appendectomy. Any of those abdominal surgeries would put you at a higher risk of developing SIBO. So that's why we're going to explore this. And I'm going to break down kind of the differences because there are different types and they usually present with different symptoms, although they don't always have to. But at least gives you enough information to say, take a pause and really think, maybe this could be driving it. I might need to explore this a little more. So SIBO is just bacteria in the wrong location. The different types are hydrogen, hydrogen sulfide, and methane. The hydrogen and hydrogen sulfide usually kind of present with diarrhea, and the methane is usually constipation. Some people will have both constipation and diarrhea, so don't rule that out if you have both. In 2020, they kind of made this decision that, hey, a better description of methane SIBO is really intestinal methanogen overgrowth because they're really focused on those methanogens. To explain this a little further, in 2021, in the Journal of Clinical Gastroenterology and Hepatology, they found that 30% of patients with SIBO are colonized with archaea. And archaea are just anaerobic organisms that produce methane. So it's not really the bacteria, it's really the archaea. So that's where they felt like we're dealing with something different, and they wanted to recognize that a little bit more kind of in tune with what they're dealing with. So it could be, if constipation is your main or one of the symptoms that you're experiencing on a regular basis, it could be the methanogens, and just really that overgrowth is driving that constipation dominant type of scenario. So there are some stool tests that you can evaluate. The one I like to use does give us a glimpse into methanogens. Although the best test for SIBO is a breath test. So most people to be diagnosed with SIBO are going to use a breath test to identify that. But I will tell you, they are not always available in every community at your local labs, local hospitals. We found that to be the case. And, you know, sometimes just treating empirically works too. So just the key is you got to work with someone who understands SIBO and understands the symptoms, you know, the causes, and kind of how do you treat it. So to me, that's the key piece. You find and work with someone who has experience in it so that you can get resolution to it. I'm going to also share only one study of multiple. I think I have at least three studies that say the same percentage. But usually what they're finding, this one was from 2016, titled "The Consequences of SIBO in Obese Patients Before and After Bariatric Surgery." And what they found is that pre-surgery, so before you even have bariatric surgery, about 15% of obese patients have SIBO already and probably are unaware of it. And then after surgery, they find that that number rises to about 40%. So there are some studies that even go as high as like 86 and 87%. So 40 to 80s is kind of where I land with those percentages with this research. But I would say in clinical experience, I would agree it is somewhere between 40 and 80% of you do experience SIBO. I think it's just digging into what are you experiencing and what are you dealing with, and focusing on fixing that problem. So they also found in this study that the people who were positive for SIBO after bariatric surgery did have lower weight loss. Now, I will say, I'm sure many of you are thinking, is that just Roux-en-Y gastric bypass, or is that sleeve gastrectomy, both? They do find that the sleeve gastrectomy kind of hold the same numbers and present with SIBO equally, maybe a little less, but in the end, you still have the same risk factors and same potential of having SIBO after a gastric sleeve surgery as well. So when you have SIBO, most people are going to have at least two, maybe three symptoms. Some of you may have none. That honestly, I would say that's probably unlikely. But I would say most of you are going to have a minimum of one symptom, but probably more like two or three symptoms. Some are going to be pretty extreme and others are going to be pretty mild. So it doesn't mean you have it worse or, you know, less than someone else. It just means that your presentations are just different and how you are responding is just different. So typically, we already know constipation is one of the symptoms you're going to have with this intestinal methanogen overgrowth, or IMO. So what else could you be experiencing? And that is gas, bloating, belly distension, especially belly distension that gets worse as the day goes on. Some will describe that their belly looks pregnant and feels really distended or really hard to touch and painful. You can also have diarrhea, like we've already talked about, abdominal pain, cramping, nausea, and belching. So those are all symptoms, but they're also the same symptoms for many other digestive problems. I've already talked about bile acid malabsorption. It carries similar symptoms to this. EPI, exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. So all of those have a potential after weight loss surgery. So working with someone who understands the differences and can help you get the right testing to diagnose what it is that you are dealing with is important. So if you are having problems with constipation chronically, and fiber, fluids, and exercise have not helped, or in some cases even made it worse, then I would want you to consider SIBO, or intestinal IMO, intestinal methanogen overgrowth, as a reason. So if that's you, I'd love for you to reach out, and I'd love to work with you. Don't be afraid to ask for a free 15-minute conversation where we can kind of chat about your symptoms and see if we're a good fit and see if we can help guide you maybe to what you need first and get you going to healing. So I hope this has given you some insight and given you some things to consider. So if you're really struggling with constipation and you want solutions, reach out and we can get the ball rolling. So I hope this helped. You guys have a great day. Bye-bye.